All right, next we have pharmacodynamics, the action of a drug. Now, the first thing that will affect a drug, the drug action, is the dose. Now, we call dose response or dose relationships. Now, there's two relationships that we talk about. One is maximal efficacy, and the other one is potency. And they're a little bit different, so let's try and... there we go. All right. So this is a cell that has four receptors. Okay, so if you give just a little bit of the drug, maybe only one receptor gets affected. So you get a little bit of response. Now, if you give a little bit more drug, say twice the dose, now you get two receptors affected. You get twice the response. Now we give three times the initial dose, now we get three times response. And then we get to four. Now, what happens if we give five times the initial dose? Nothing. We've saturated the cell. So no matter how much more drug you give, you get no more response. That level where this flattens out is called maximal dose response or maximal efficacy. Now, in this case, we've got two different drugs that we can use for pain. One of them is meperidine, Demerol, and the other one is pentazocine, or Talwin. Now, once you get to this level, no matter how much more drug you give, you're never going to get more pain relief than this out of Talwin. But if you give more Demerol, you're going to get even more pain relief. Now, if you've got very minor pain, does it matter which one you take? No. Because either way, you're going to be okay. Now, if your pain is up in this level, do you want to take Talwin?
No.
At least not by itself. So you want something that will go higher. So sometimes we say that's a strong medication. What we talk about is the maximum level that it'll get to. It's also called maximal efficacy. Now, potency, on the other hand, is how much drug it takes to reach that level. So here we've got meperidine, Demerol, and morphine. Now, what this shows us is that they'll both get to the same maximal efficacy. But which one takes more drug? Okay, it takes more drug of Demerol, more dose, in order to get to that same efficacy. So what this means is that you have to give fewer milligrams. That's what we call potent. So strength of a drug, in terms of this is a strong drug, this is a weak drug, is how high it will ultimately get. Potency says how much milligrams does it take to get there. So if you had really bad pain, which one would you want? Doesn't matter. Unless you have to take so much Demerol that the pill's too big to swallow. So really, the only advantage of a high-potency drug is that it doesn't take as much, so you can have smaller pills. That's really the only advantage of a potent drug over a non-potent drug, or a less potent. So what's the only real advantage of a potent drug? Smaller pills. Now, that can be a big advantage if you've ever... if you ever give a patient ganciclovir, you're giving them like eight of these enormous pills every day, three or four times a day. It would be a lot nicer if you could just take one small one, right? All right, receptor types. We are going to skip this part here a little bit. But what we do need to know is that there are three ways that receptors can be activated. And two of those types are on the cell surface. One is inside the cell. Okay, so if it's on the outside of the cell, the drug does not have to enter the cell. That makes sense, right? If the receptor is in the nucleus, where does the drug have to go? Inside the cell. That's the major thing we need to know for right now in terms of receptors. Now, at the bottom here of the slide, selectivity and lock and key, this is what we do need to know. Some drugs will affect more than one receptor. If it affects more than one, we call it less selective. If it affects only one, we call it more selective. Now, which one do you think is going to have more side effects? Less selective. Sometimes you'll hear them say, well, that's kind of a dirty drug. And what they mean is that it affects multiple receptors and has a lot of side effects. Now, lock and key. All right. The lock and key hypothesis says that the way a drug affects a receptor is by fitting into it, like a lock and key. So you have to have the right key to open a lock. And even though a key might go into the lock, it might not turn, right? So you need the right shaped key to fit into that lock and activate it. So that's the same idea here, is you need the right shaped key to activate a receptor, the right shaped drug. All right, so now, in terms of what our drug can do to a receptor, the first thing is it can activate it. If it activates it, we call it an agonist. Now, how many of you have studied Greek literature? Well, a couple. All right. How many of you have seen a Greek play? Antigone? Medea? Okay. Now, in Greek plays, the actors were called agonists because they suffered. They are in agony. Now, the major person, the star, was called the protagonist. So the person acted, they suffered. So here we have an agonist is the main actor. It does the same thing that the receptor normally does. Then the bad guy, the villain, was the antagonist because they went against the protagonist. So antagonist drugs will cause the opposite effect that the receptor normally does. So you might think of these as a receptor blocker. So an agonist activates the receptor, an antagonist deactivates or blocks the receptor. In addition to that, we have two kind of not-quites. A partial antagonist is a drug that will activate the receptor, but not very well. And it will block ones that do well from getting to it. Don't really need to worry about this one so much. But we do need to understand this idea, which is regulation of selectivity. Sometimes a drug doesn't actually activate a receptor, but it makes the receptor more sensitive to being activated. So we still consider that an agonist because it still helps to promote the normal activity of the receptor. Does that make sense?
That you're talking about before, the cheering on, but they're not really doing anything.
Yes. Okay. All right, so for example, an agonist would be a drug that does something. It actually activates the receptor. A drug that regulates sensitivity would say, hey, you know, I really don't want you to do that. That wouldn't be a good idea. Please don't activate that receptor. That would be what we call down-regulating the receptor. An upregulation of the receptor would be a drug that comes near the receptor and it tells other molecules that come by, hey, come on, do it. You know you want to. Come on, please do it. Activate. Come on. And that would be upregulating the sensitivity.